Salam Hari Ahad. Salam Hari Ahad.
Bismillah walhamdulillah. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi ta'ala wabarakatuh. Salam Hari Ahad kepada para penonton sekalian. Saya Derek Fernando, kembali bersama anda di saluran NMC TV setiap Ahad malam. Tetamu kita malam ini merupakan seorang usahawan yang berasal dari Perancis tetapi bermastautin di Malaysia. Namanya Philippe Sompere. Dan jika anda ingin mengetahui kisah beliau dengan lebih lanjut, jangan ke mana-mana. Kami akan kembali selepas ini. Di sini, Salam Hari Ahad.
Salam Hari Ahad. Salam Hari Ahad.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
Bienvenue.
Ya, benvenido. Ya, from Panama.
Masha'Allah. Comment allez-vous?
Ça va bien, merci.
Alhamdulillah.
¿Cómo está?
Muy bien. Thank you very much for coming, brother.
Well, it's my pleasure, yes. Especially doing this something new here.
We're very happy to have you.
Okay. Thank you. So am I.
Now, as I understand, you've been in Malaysia for more than 25 years. Now, that's a long time.
It is. Sudah lama, yes.
Yeah, you can speak Bahasa.
Boleh.
Ya, Alhamdulillah.
Memang boleh ya. Selepas 25 tahun, saya mesti belajar.
Mesti belajar.
Ataupun malu lah.
Alhamdulillah. So, I know, Brother Philippe, that you have a beautiful family. You have three beautiful daughters, and your wife is Malaysian.
She is indeed, yes.
Alhamdulillah. So, tell us, what role did she play in your conversion to Islam?
Well, she was the key. She really was in the driver's seat for that process.
You know?
We met, by the way, by the grace of Allah in the exhibition. And she gave me that kind of smile that got me hooked.
Alhamdulillah.
But one of the things I really have to credit for her for that is that she really had principle in her faith, and she really insisted that if I wanted really to marry her and be a Muslim, to understand Islam first,
prior to
converting.
That's great.
So that really what made me say, okay, then give me time.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent almost half a year, you know. She took me to ABIM, which is an organization in Malaysia where I could throw any question and get the answers. And only when I would be ready to do the Shahada, then I would proceed.
So it was only after that process that you made the decision.
So that made me comfortable, because being a French without any natural religious inclination, I was a bit, you can ask my wife, I tend to be a sarcastic guy. So I think that really cleared the hurdles, you know. I was able to take my own sweet time and get to know the religion.
Okay, fantastic. Now, was it difficult at first when you were going through all of these courses and asking all of these questions? How did you feel?
Yes and no. Yes, well, I could see initially I was maybe not in agreement with what was taught, but you know, when you scratch a bit the surface, you get to understand the logic of it.
I see.
And that really made me fully accept what are the responsibilities as a Muslim,
Masha'Allah.
Especially as a husband Muslim.
Masha'Allah.
Yes.
So your understanding became very clear, you felt very comfortable afterwards.
Yes. So, you know, I decided to convert on my birthday.
Alhamdulillah.
And I think that was the biggest gift I could receive.
Alhamdulillah, it's a date you can't forget.
Yeah, that's right.
Definitely.
Yes.
So, Brother Philippe, last week we had Professor Tariq Ramadan here on the show.
I heard of that, yes.
And before that we had Brother Julian. So both of them, they shared something in French, and since you're from France as well, I wanted to invite you, in case there's any message that you would like to share with the French speakers who might be watching us at the moment.
Yeah, sure, yes.
Please, go
ahead. I will say it in French, yes. Je pense que il faut absolument, pour un Français, il faut absolument ne pas regarder les stéréotypes et vraiment étudier la religion par soi-même, faire sa recherche sur Internet, bien sûr lire le Coran, lire le Hadith, et également regarder l'histoire des peuples, l'histoire des civilisations. Qui a fondé les empires? Qui a envahi les autres pays? Est-ce que c'est de quelle religion se disait-il appartenir? Et à partir de ce moment-là, dès qu'on étudie cette religion sans préjugés, je pense qu'il est bien plus facile d'admettre et d'accepter cette religion.
Mashallah. And I'm done. That sounded beautiful.
Right.
I guess that's why they call...
You can't speak French, can
no,
you?
No. No, but there's a reason why they call French the language of romance, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Alhamdulillah. So since we're in that note about France, I wanted to share with you something about an article I read, okay, on this website, hijab.fr. You know it?
I don't know it.
Well, you should check it out.
Okay.
It's in French, and it says that about 200,000 French have accepted Islam over the past 25 years.
Wow.
Okay, and it says that this grew after the year 2000. Mm-hmm. Okay, they gave some examples. For example, the rapper Diane, which I'm sure you know.
Stranger to me.
Okay. I guess you're not much into rap then.
No, I'm not, yeah.
And more interestingly, very recently, a French brother by the name of Maxence, right? Am I pronouncing that right? Maxence Boutet.
Yeah. Okay.
From a party that you must know, the FN.
Front National
is a right-wing party in France.
Nothing to do with Barisan National, by the way.
Nothing to do. Okay, but it's a right-wing party, and this brother, he recently accepted Islam.
Wow.
And he went on Canal Plus he was interviewed, and he wanted to share several things about Islam. And it's very curious that, you know, someone who had these political inclinations, right-wing political inclinations, from a party that was also targeting and blaming Muslims for many problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, he became very interested and decided to embrace this religion. So as a French, of course, you know the French much better than I do, and than most of our audience,
right,
who might have not had any experience with French people. What do you think, I mean, to what do you attribute this interest of the French people? Exactly.
Yes. Well, you know, in France, we have a saying, it's les voies du Seigneur sont impénétrables.
Mm.
That would be translated like the path to God are impenetrable.
It
means, you know, the way to Allah is really millions of ways.
Yes,
and we
you never know.
But that's an interesting story that you tell me. But having said that, I haven't heard of this guy. But I heard of another guy before that, which I think was a Dutch guy who had really had a hatred for Muslims who happened to convert and even did his Hajj.
Yes, exactly.
I think 2 years back. So, you know, how to link the dots in the mind of this guy is, it's an amazing story what you tell me. What I would say is the people probably get to do their research, their groundwork, and eventually they find the truth.
Yeah, they find what Islam really means. Yeah, I mean, especially considering the sort of Islamophobia that we have been seeing in the media recently with this controversy about the Charlie Hebdo cartoons.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So, there's been a big debate regarding freedom of expression.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people defending this from one side or the other. However, some people, for example, like comedian Dieudonné, whom I like very much, and he promotes peace between different religions. However, he has been targeted and criticized for doing so. That's why I want to ask you, you know, how do you really see freedom of expression in France? What do you find the reality is?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. Freedom of expression seems to be subjected to different standards in France.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing thing that, you know, France is a country where we even have laws for saying certain, making claims like, for example, the Holocaust denier. Holocaust is definitely a terrible thing that happened to millions of Jews. But if you dare to write or say something that denies that, you can be jailed and you can be fined.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, Muslim women in France are not able to dress as they wish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've heard a lot about this with the ban on the hijab.
They can dress as little as they want, but they cannot dress as much as they want. And I can say that that is in direct conflict with what we see. I think 2 weeks back there was a huge march of 4 million people, whereby you were able to line up with some of the biggest tyrants of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had Netanyahu waving at the crowd for his upcoming elections. You have a representative from the Egyptian dictatorship, mm-hmm. even from Saudi, where you get people jailed for blogging against the government.
Right.
A journalist in Egypt getting jailed for also saying things against the government. Mm-hmm. But all these guys were seemed to be perfectly horrified by this kind of freedom of speech mm-hmm. Attacked.
Yeah.
So what I can say is, obviously there are two standards. Mm-hmm. Definitely, it's a crime. It's a crime to have killed. No human being should be subjected to murder, being tortured, being murdered for what they write or what they say. But at the same time, if what they say is inciting harm or is inciting hurting people,
yeah, hatred, or
then there must be a border.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I mean, we all appreciate freedom of expression, right? But I don't think that, for example, those there, let's just giving the example of France, in who are atheists, who don't believe in God, they wouldn't appreciate it if those who have a religion would be on a daily basis telling them that your beliefs are nonsense or your beliefs don't make sense and they're a threat to the country, right? Of course, and if it's done in an offensive way, I mean, who would like that, right? It's common sense.
Yeah, so I would say, you know, it's the very strange thing in France, you know, if you criticize, if you say bad thing, if you're attacking a black, you are racist, right? Mm-hmm. If you are attacking woman, you are sexist, mm-hmm. right? If you are attacking Jews, you are anti-Semitic. But if you are saying offensive things to the Muslims, mm-hmm. you know, this is freedom of speech. You can be held up for what you say.
That's so true. Right. That's so true.
And I saw, in fact, I just wanted to show you. I saw a nice cartoon that was done in the Charlie Hebdo way. Uh-huh. I thought it's from Charlie Hebdo.
Okay.
But it's actually a critique of what Charlie Hebdo. You know?
Have
you
seen this cartoon? Maybe you can show it here on the camera.
You know,
is it clear?
It sums up what I said. You know.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you are criticizing, writing offensive thing about Jews, you're anti-Semitic. But if you are writing offensive or cartoons about Muslims,
subhanallah,
this is freedom of speech.
Subhanallah. So there seems to be some sort of imbalance. Yeah, it's from us over here, we're not in France. It seems like the majority of the French people, they hate religion. And they're putting the same all the religions in the same bag, criticizing all of them in the same way. So what do you attribute this to? Because France was known to be a Catholic country.
Right.
Yeah, and now we learn that the majority of the French, they're atheists or agnostics. They either don't believe in God or they don't know if God exists. They're unsure about it. So what really happened? I mean, according to you, how could the French people in just a few generations become a nation that has no God and no religion?
Well, that's a good question, but I would say it started even during my youth. You know, I recall, you know, the churches I used to go until age 12. The churches used to be more and more empty compared mm-hmm. to earlier generations. I don't know. In my opinion, maybe perhaps it's related to the role of the church, mm-hmm. the scandals that have been seen, you know, in the media with the sex scandal, the priest. And the role of the church in the Second World War, which they were, the Catholic Church in France was often seen to be collaborating with the occupying forces of Germany, and that probably created a decline and in trust of French people towards that religion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But all in all, I think we need to look at the big thing, the bigger picture. Yeah.
Okay, and,
definitely, we cannot put all religion in one bag.
Yeah, so we have to look into it. You being French, I wanted to share something with you.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you've read a book by Maurice Bouquet. He's a French scientist.
I bought it, but I like
many the shelf.
Things I do. I do multitasking, so I read some chapters and I didn't read the whole book yet. But
right.
It's an amazing book.
So yes, it's a very good book. It's called
yes.
The Bible, the Quran, and Science.
Right.
So Maurice Bouquet, as we know, he's a recognized doctor, and he says several things in this book. He says that the Quran is, for example, is in agreement with scientific facts, and he says that according to him, okay, according to Bouquet, there are no scientific errors in the Quran. He believes that the Quran's description of natural phenomena makes it compatible with modern science.
Right.
Okay, and he concludes that the Quran has to be the word of God.
Right.
Okay. So as a French scientist, you know, someone influential, making these claims. Okay.
Yes.
How do you think that this can affect the French people? And this is a book which has been published a while ago.
Yes, okay, yes. In fact, you know, it's interesting because I got to learn about this author only when I was in Malaysia.
Oh,
so I would say there has been some kind of media blackout about this guy.
Interesting.
Because he has not really been on the main news unless I missed it out. But it's interesting to know that being a doctor, a well-known surgeon, he wanted to explore what statements were made in the Quran, and he was able to reconcile them with the modern science. Yeah, that's an amazing thing.
Alhamdulillah. So for whoever out there who hasn't read this book, really recommend it. And especially French readers, because it's a book which was written originally in French.
Yes.
Right?
You go to Maurice Bucaille on the internet, Google it, and you can find it.
Yes, exactly. So thank you so much for coming. It was great having you here,
my
brother Philip.
My pleasure.
To finish off, since you've been here for such a long time in Malaysia, we just wanted to ask you, is there something that you want to share with the French people about Malaysia? Why is it that you made that decision to just stay here for good? What is it about Malaysia that you wish for the French to appreciate?
Right. Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think Malaysia has many things to teach France. The food is amazing, of course. But we have good food in France. But the food is amazing. But I think that the most, for me, the most striking advantage of this country first is the ability to have, the three ethnies, the three different races living peacefully. There is this Malaysian concept invention, which is about the open house, Rumah Berbuka.
Food again.
Right. So, I mean, it's an amazing. Every tourist coming from Europe are always amazed by, how
hospitality,
hospitable is this concept about. And also, I think one of the things also is Malaysian people still know how to smile.
Wow.
To stranger. You know, you go to a train in France, nobody will smile at you. But in people coming back from Malaysia, they say, people always smiling, they are friendly, so that's one of the quality that should be instigated.
It's the sunnah of our Prophet.
It is, actually, yes.
The Prophet Muhammad was known for smiling. Alhamdulillah. Right. So here in Malaysia, they still stick to that tradition.
Right.
Alhamdulillah. Well, thank you so much for coming, Brother Philippe.
My pleasure.
Jazakumullah khairan. Merci beaucoup.
Merci à you.
Merci.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Salam hari ahad. Salam hari ahad.
Terima kasih sekali lagi kepada saudara Philip kerana sudi bersama kami. Sehinggalah kita berjumpa lagi pada Ahad malam depan. Sila langgani saluran kami di NMC TV. Sokongan anda amat dihargai. Saya Derek Fernando, anda baru sahaja menonton Salam Hari Ahad yang dibawakan kepada anda oleh New Muslim Care. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi ta'ala wabarakatuh.
Salam Hari Ahad.
Katakan dan siapa yang beragama Islam, dia tak judge dengan culture Australia.
Salam.
Lepas daripada kerja, minum apa semua.
Salam.
Bila dia dah ambil syahadah, semua orang tak ambil. Allahu Akbar kan? Allahu Akbar.
Tapi sampai situ.
Salam Hari Ahad. 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 Salam Hari Ahad.